Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast. Thank you for hanging out with the underdogs and talking politics, culture, and personal life. Enjoy this new episode. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, your source for coverage, opinions, and all the stuff we do related to politics, culture, and personal life. With that, let's get back into the unavoidable news stories of the week. Let's start with what happened on Monday with Donald Trump talking about Afghanistan. Clip one.
Same war?
Yes, same war.
Original instinct was to pull out. And historically, I like following my instincts. But all my life, I've heard that decisions are much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. In other words, when you're president of the United States. A core pillar of our new strategy is a shift from a time-based approach to one based on conditions. I've said it many times, how counterproductive it is for the United States to announce in advance the dates we intend to begin or end military options.
Well now, not again.
Not one more again. This is, I thought when, wasn't Trump saying that Afghanistan was a bad thing during the Obama years?
Well, he just told you his first instinct was to pull out.
Oh, ouch. Sorry.
That's the... I'm not...
My brain went to a terrible, like an uninhibited place
said
with that
no
one.
No man ever.
Exactly.
Well, there's a real reason why it feels like not again, because President Trump this week announced the expansion of military presence into Afghanistan. And for folks who feel like this has been going on for a while, 16 years.
This is apparently the longest war in U.S. history. You mean this is now longer than Vietnam and all of those wars?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to be ending anytime soon. Supposedly, we're going to deploy about 4,000 additional troops to Afghanistan.
Wow.
And we already have 12,000 of them there.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, there's an element that's kind of relevant to me from my heritage with the Pakistan connection here. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard that, you know, Trump really emphasized that the U.S. would press the ally Pakistan to clean out those terrorist sanctuaries along the border with Afghanistan. So geography lesson, Pakistan borders Afghanistan. But what's really interesting is that there's another sort of unspoken thing that a lot of people tend to forget, and it's that Pakistan is one of those 9 countries in the world that has nuclear weapons. And yes, and Afghanistan, like, is almost having more troops in Afghanistan almost is a way to, just in case something happens in Pakistan or if the Taliban's, you know, end up, you know, being able to do something in Pakistan, you kind of want some American presence not too far away, which is a little scary.
Whoa, I did not realize that they were one of the 9 countries
yes.
with nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And we do have a bit of a history with Pakistan because if I recall, didn't we go in there unannounced to go get Osama
bin
Laden?
Exactly.
Which was the original reason why we went into Afghanistan,
yes.
but we went into Iraq first for some odd oily reason. And now 16 years later, we're still back in Afghanistan.
Right. And there's another sort of interesting conspiracy theory in the fact that the U.S. right now is going through an opioid crisis, which we all sort of know about. And Afghanistan produces 90% of the world's heroin, which, of course, is a key ingredient in opioid-related medications.
It reminds me of that saying, if you want to know why things are unfolding the way they're unfolding, follow the money. Now, for those who might be wondering, 16 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Will we be there another 16 years? Let's hear about Trump's plan or strategy in terms of maybe how long we might stay in Afghanistan.
A core pillar of our new strategy is a shift from a time-based approach to one based on conditions. I've said it many times, how counterproductive it is for the United States to announce in advance the dates we intend to begin or end military options.
So I guess that means we're going to be there forever.
Indefinitely?
Well, yes.
For an undetermined amount of time?
Yes. All I can say is we'll keep an eye on this, but unfortunately, this may be news. That is news again for another 16 years. And some have said that they're not quite sure what the end game will be.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll be that at least there can be some stability in Afghanistan at some point.
And, you know, my two cents are it actually has nothing to do with Afghanistan. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just a half Pakistani girl just trying to make it in America.
Half Pakistani and half Canadian.
Half Pakistani, half Jamaican, 100% Canadian on an American visa in New York.
Welcome. We appreciate having you here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Still working on being a more perfect union, but we'll see.
Okay.
Speaking of immigration,
yes. and someone who's adamantly against it. Did someone host a rally about this recently?
So no, not again. But our president,
yeah,
who maybe I think he thinks he's still campaigning.
I'm pretty sure he is still campaigning. It's just for a election that's further off.
Only about 1,160 something days from now.
The first 1,000 days are the most important in any campaign period.
But who's counting anyway? So Trump's reelection campaign organized a rally in Arizona this week.
In Phoenix, yeah.
That just sounds odd. He's only 7 months in office and his reelection campaign organized a rally.
I mean, didn't he have a rally in Florida like a couple months ago?
Yes, he's either on vacation or at rallies, it seems. And so he did briefly talk about policy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say briefly, I mean briefly. Some tax reform here, some trade stuff here, some infrastructure stuff there. And then,
yeah,
in Trumpian style.
Trumpian style. It's Trumpian, like
no,
a trumpet.
Is that the first time you've done the Trump?
Yeah.
Trumpet.
Do you want me to do the trumpet every time now?
Yeah.
I
like that. Okay. So then things went left.
Uh-huh.
Trade, he talked about.
And we're not talking Kyrie for Isaiah Thomas when we say trade right now, right?
Did you just make a basketball reference?
I know basketball more than I know football, okay?
Yeah, did you Google Michael Bennett from last week? Shout out to the Cavaliers and the Celtics for a trade I think both sides won. But he was talking about your country, actually.
Canada,
United States, and Mexico. He's talking about NAFTA. Mm. He actually said and threatened that the U.S. is going to just bounce out of NAFTA.
I feel, okay, this feels like a no, not again, because I feel like I've heard this one before.
Yes, but only this time, I'm starting to learn that when he says stuff like that, I think he means it. So
I think he means it, yeah.
We might be out of the North American Trade Agreement pretty, pretty soon.
North American Free Trade Agreement, actually, is what the F stands for. It's quite important.
Yes. as if people weren't quite sure what the F stood for?
Then I don't know, man. F is not a letter to mess with.
All right. But then he wasn't done. He also went left talking about Charlottesville again.
Oh, gosh. We got a clip of that?
Do you want to hear him talking about?
I 1,000% want to hear
talking
that.
About Charlottesville and talking about the crooked media.
Right. Fake news?
Well, we'll see.
All right.
I'm having a hard time with that one because I said everything. I hit him with neo-Nazi. I hit him with everything. I got the white supremacists, the neo-Nazi, I got them all in there. Let's see. Yeah, KKK, we have KKK. I got them all. So they're having a hard time. So what did they say? Right? It should have been sooner. He's a racist.
Wow. I can't believe that he's now like quadrupling down on his crazy statements.
And with a bit of arrogance and just throwing the names around like, hey, I mentioned the KKK.
I mean, you're being nice when you say a bit of arrogance. I mean, I think that is just utterly and completely oblivious, disrespectful, and ignorant.
Well, speaking of ignorance, there's a quote he had during the speech when he was talking about the crooked media in Charlottesville where he invented a new word.
Really?
Yes. He said it's time to expose the crooked media, deceptions, and to challenge the media for their role in fomenting divisions.
Did he meant fermenting?
No, he meant fomenting. Like forming.
Forming and...
And minting, like and minted.
Okay.
That's what he said. And okay. Yes, by the way, they are trying to take away our history and our heritage. You see that?
He really does sound like those people that were holding the tiki torches last weekend.
Yeah, he's sounding like he's giving some air cover to white nationalist supporters of his.
Yes, it does. It sounds like this is rhetoric that's coming straight from the mouth of David Duke.
Yes. Unfortunately, one quick side note before we get into the rest of the Arizona rally. I want to say that he's crazy, Donald Trump.
Right.
For saying things like, don't take away our history. Don't erase these monuments. There were many sides. But there's 54% of people who said Confederate monuments should remain in public spaces.
Right. Because that sort of equation between wanting to keep federal monuments and does that make you a racist is still a bit of, you know, a gray area.
Well, to me, it's at least supporting white nationalist points of view.
Yes.
And to me, that
at bare minimum
is unacceptable. But he wasn't done. Guess what else he talked about while he was in Arizona? Immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about the wall. He still wants to build the wall. And this is what he said.
Believe me, if we have to close down our government, we're building that wall. Let me be very clear to Democrats in Congress who oppose a border wall and stand in the way of border security. You are putting all of America's safety at risk. You're doing that. My administration will never back down in demanding immigration control. The American people.
So we're going to build a wall. And if not, we're going to shut down the government.
Right.
Now, if he would have just stopped there about immigration, I'd have been like, it's cool. That's all right. No new news. I've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
Not again, but he keeps talking about this wall from the day he announced his run for the office. He talked about Mexicans being rapists, drug dealers, all types. I'm not shocked about the wall comment. But something else happened while he was in Arizona that was shocking to me.
You're not shocked that he threatened to shut down the entire U.S. government unless people fund the building of a ridiculous wall that he can't even say exactly what it's going to cost? And even the rough estimates of what it's going to cost would cripple the economy of the country? You don't think that that's shocking? Like, it's not shocking to hear him talk about it,
yeah,
but it's shocking to hear him say he's going to shut down the government if you don't do it. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I think that's a fair comment but I'm not shocked.
Wow. Okay. What does shock you?
This.
Okay.
Is what shocks me because Donald Trump is Mr. Law and Order.
Right.
Along with Jeff Beauregard Sessions.
Jefferson.
And then probably the most craziest thing from the rally happened in this sound clip right here.
Was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? That's what. He should have had a jury, but you know what? I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay? But I won't do it tonight because I don't want to cause any controversy. Is that okay? All right. and Sheriff Joe can feel good.
We'll get to that, because Sheriff Joe turns out could feel good, because the Tuesday night rally turned into some Friday night news.
Friday night news, conspicuously buried.
Yes.
Yes.
They call it flooding the zone, when a lot of news comes out on purpose all at the same time, so that you don't even know what to cover, what to say, what to do.
And it purposely comes out on Friday evening so that they can avoid the news cycle.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't flood the zone here, and we don't avoid topics and comments.
No, we do not.
So far, Underdogs coming along for the ride on Facebook Live.
Yeah, I wanted to shout out Robert, who had a comment on Afghanistan. You know, we asked folks to share their thoughts on Trump's sort of renewed resurgence in Afghanistan. And Robert says, what do I think about this war? Follow the money. Those for it will be the ones making money from it. Actually, have to give Steve Bannon a pat on the back, because he and his crew remain against expanding U.S. global warfare. Which is interesting.
Shout out to Robert.
Shout out to Robert.
I used to work with Robert back in the day, and he makes a very good point. Oftentimes, when I want to know the answer to something, I follow the money. Mm-hmm. And we have often seen, and it's been reported, that our government and different industries make a lot of money when we go to war. And while there's not many things I agree with Steve Bannon on, I do agree with folks who believe we should be very cautious about getting into wars or escalating our troop presence in places. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm skeptical about our presence continuing in Afghanistan.
And just to clarify, yes, Steve Bannon is against sort of the U.S. government expanding their footprint from a global warfare standpoint, but his solution is actually for the U.S. government to fund private militias to actually be the ones on the front lines. And not surprisingly, he's actually would be making money from that, because he's a key investor in one of the largest private militias in the entire world. So just to add the other side of that story there.
Can I rewind?
Sorry.
For those who are listening still, I didn't mean it that I even found common ground with Steve Bannon. I don't have common ground with Steve Bannon or his mans in them, exactly. Mr. Gorka, who's
gone now.
Did he resign or was he?
Gorka was let go. Gorka was fired.
Gorka got fired this week too. You blew it.
Why?
You did. Did you see how I set you up?
You did.
Was Gorka? Did he resign?
He was fired. I'm sorry. I said let go. I can't. I'm sorry. Apologize. That part wasn't rehearsed.
I know. We set that up so nicely. Because that was part of flooding the zone.
Yeah. Oh.
Friday night, there was the unfortunate start to Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden there was this flood of news coming out of the White House.
Yep.
Like Gorka, a special advisor to the president who was down with Steve Bannon at Breitbart, who mm-hmm. I'm sure will be back with Steve Bannon at Breitbart, left the administration. Did he resign?
He was fired.
See, that's what I'm talking about. And guess what else happened Friday night that flooded the zone?
What?
Sheriff Joe.
Oh, gosh.
Who was referenced at the Arizona rally that Trump was at.
Yeah.
And Sheriff Joe from Arizona, who was convicted. Like, not accused.
Not accused. No, and it wasn't just over, you know, the course of a year or this investigation has been going on for a decade plus.
And he was arrested and convicted. And I believe set to serve time.
Yes.
For racist profiling policing practices in Arizona.
Exactly.
Among a list of a lot of things.
Exactly. Exactly. So basically, just for those who don't know the full sort of story behind Sheriff Arpaio. So Essentially, long story short, to sort of put this in layman's terms here, Joe Arpaio was the sheriff of a county in Phoenix, Mariposa County. And essentially what was happening was, for those who don't know, again, geography, American, Phoenix, Arizona is very close to sort of the Mexican border, right? And so what was happening was the sheriff and his force were pulling people over simply because they looked like immigrants, right? Which is racial profiling, right? There's no evidence that they've committed a crime. You're pulling people over simply because of the color of their skin. And in this case, it was Latino, right? And so then what would happen is that they would then pull these people over for no reason. Then they're basically turning people over to the federal government to catch, quote unquote, illegal immigrants, right? So they've been doing this for years and years and years and years. And obviously they became sort of emboldened after some of the measures that Trump has put in sort of since he came into office.
Yes. And he was instructed by a judge in the courts to stop doing it.
Yes.
And he kept doing it.
Exactly. So in 2011, he was ordered by a judge to stop detaining people based simply on the belief that they were in the country illegally rather than the suspicion that a crime had been committed. And essentially, he actually just flat out refused to comply with this. Like, he basically said that he's not going to stop protecting the people in the county. And that was his sort of rebuttal, even though his lawyers told him about sort of the magnitude of this order. And actually, his defiance of this order has cost that county millions and millions and millions of dollars based on lawsuits that have been filed.
It has. And I would say even more importantly, his conduct cost people their lives.
Exactly.
Because there's been folks who've been held in the jails in his county that have been brutally beaten and or died while under the custody of Sheriff Joe and his department.
Exactly. And he even actually, even just speaking of the conditions that he not only condoned, but actually facilitated within some of those facilities are, he actually installed publicly accessible webcams in some of the jails in the areas that they were holding some of these people so that the public could gawk at the inmates. And one of those cameras actually showed female prisoners using the toilet. That's the level of like crazy that we're dealing with here.
And Friday night, he got pardoned.
On Friday night, the president decided that, given the fact that this 85-year-old man who's proven time and time again to be a complete racist has served America for 50 years, and as such, he does not deserve to go to jail. That's the president's official sort of statement.
Yeah, this was, to me, unacceptable. For those who are wondering, can it be overturned? No. Under the Constitution, the president has the right to do what he did. In normal Trump style, though, he did it in a way that is unconventional and, to me, unacceptable, which is normally when you get pardoned, it's after you've served some time and potentially had some type of good behavior or new information has come out. But in this case, the pardon comes without Joe having to serve any time.
Yep.
And without Trump consulting this thing called the Justice
Department. The Justice Department?
Which has a group of people who help presidents figure out all the information and do investigative reporting and all the other stuff and give them a sense of like what they're going to get into. With that, though, one thing I will say is he did it. And he did it early in his presidency. And so I hope folks are like keeping a list of all the things that Donald Trump has done that they are against and will actually lead to people going out and voting as opposed to only resisting.
That's great.
Because that's going to be the way things change 2018 and 2020.
Yep.
With that, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more of the unavoidable news stories of the week in politics, culture, and personal life. Take your online comments plus phone calls at area code 212-650-6903. More underdog stuff after this break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do here every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. And as always, joined in studio by the Underdog Stuff team in the building, Asha Davis.
Hi.
Kirsten Magwood. Holding it down as always. And thank you to the Underdogs for holding it down with us. Following along on Facebook Live or on WHCR.org or riding around in their cars on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're going to be the place to be on Sunday afternoons. You know why?
Why?
Because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be boycotting the NFL. And they're going to be able to find awesome live programming.
Yeah.
Once they get out of church or get done whatever they do in the mornings.
That's true.
We're going to give them their afternoon time.
Yeah.
Underdog time.
Underdog time.
Shout out to all the people who were at the boycott in New York City at the NFL offices supporting Standing with Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah, that was, I think Spike Lee was there, wasn't he?
I believe he was, along mm-hmm. with a lot of other folks showing support and love for Spike. Speaking of underdogs and showing support, online comments.
Yeah, so wanted to shout out Daryl. Thanks for tuning in. He's talking about the Joe Arpaio presidential pardon, and he says, don't be shocked when racists pardon racists. There's no justice, just us.
Oh.
I like that.
Daryl bringing it.
I like that.
He's come. The other week he had the comedic skills. Now the witty copy and comments. Shout out to Daryl.
Shout out to Daryl.
The 215 representing with us in the 212.
And Robert says, pardons, presidential pardons, should have expected the sheriff's pardon. Hopefully the other minorities who for decades allow our folks to do most of the protests and pushing back step up. Sadly, many only step up and out when it starts to impact them.
Well, Robert's definitely right. There was no surprise because Trump actually on Tuesday at the rally
mm-hmm.
tipped his hand as to where he was going. And I'm starting to notice a lot of people are stepping up.
Me too, actually. You know, I think this is, you know, I watched an interview with Dave Chappelle, who we'll talk about a little bit later, recently, and he actually said that the one good thing that could be coming out of Trump as president is the renewed desire to step up and stand up for what is right. So when there's so much wrong, you know, you feel more inclined to step up. And maybe that's the silver lining.
Well, there's someone else who still seems, oh no, not again, is stepping kind of up.
Are we talking about your least favorite politician?
Hillary.
And I like her. I'm with her.
Yeah.
Her name is Hillary.
Hillary Rodham, because sometimes I say by accident Rotten. Hillary Rodham.
It's Rodham.
Rodham
it's,
Clinton.
I am not part and parcel to you and your disdain for her.
I get it. I know you with her.
I am with her.
All right. Well, she's back.
I know.
She's back in the news again. No, not again.
Mm-hmm.
But she is. September 12th is a special day.
The day after September 11th.
Yes, which obviously ever since 2001 will always be a special day, September 11th. But September 12th is special to me personally.
Because
mm-hmm. it's my mom's birthday.
Oh, well, that's a very positive spin.
Yeah, shout out to all the Virgos out there.
Mm-hmm.
September 12th. Happy birthday in advance, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And on September 12th, guess what else happens?
Hillary's book drops?
What happened?
Dun, dun, dun.
That's the title.
Yeah.
As if we don't.
You don't really know what happened.
No, I know what happened.
No, you think you know, no, but you don't know.
I know what happened. She,
you think you
she
know.
Ran an underwhelming campaign. That's what happened.
You know what? I'm not. You know what?
So this is why she's back in the news. She's out promoting her new book.
Right.
And she had a preview of some of the stuff that'll be covered in what happened. And so I just want to play a clip from No, Not Again, Hillary, back in the news.
Play the clip.
He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled. It was one of those moments where you wish you could hit pause and ask everyone watching, well, what would you do? Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep. Get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up.
You're not going to say anything? That's...
Am I going to say anything? I mean, it's so... that clip all fascinates me, and that situation fascinates me as a woman, you know, having watched that specific debate that she's referencing and seeing, you know, Trump, this, you know, tall, menacing man sort of creeping up behind her and very unprofessionally. And it's so interesting because, you know, had she actually stepped up and said, like, yo, bro, back up off me, she would have faced a lot of criticism, probably for the fact that, oh, Hillary can't keep her cool or can't keep calm under the pressure, you know? And then it's like if she doesn't say something, he emerges as, did he actually, you know, successfully intimidate her? And I think it's almost like that's one of those situations where it is difficult to win. Because if you ask a man, what would you do? Versus if you ask a woman, what would you do? You're going to get two radically different responses.
What would you have done?
What would I have done? I would have actually confronted the situation, me personally, only because he was being extremely disrespectful. And I would have confronted the situation personally, but I definitely understand, and I don't have the level of home training probably that Hillary does. And so I would have been like, yo, dude, like, what are you doing?
You have plenty of home training.
I do, but I don't have the media training that she has.
You're in advertising. You have some media training.
I mean, yeah. But I would have told him, back up.
There are always going to be people who... What's the saying? You can't please all the people all the time.
Can't please everybody, yeah.
I wish she would not have paused. I wish she would have just came out and said, stop being a creep. Or at some level confronted him. I think that Hillary, from my experience, is often at her best when she's being as real and genuine as possible. And if that's how she was feeling in the moment and she's entitled to feel that way, then let it out. He was being at least... at a bare minimum, invasive into her space. He's not allowed to do that.
He's not.
You get to say something about that.
I mean, but you have to keep in mind, Hillary came up at a time, generationally, when women were told to sort of know their place. It's not dissimilar, you know, from the way that, you know, not entirely the same, but in terms of being a woman and knowing sort of your place is almost like being a minority and knowing your place, you know, and when to step up.
This is bad after the game quarterbacking only because her place at that moment was on stage to prove that she was presidential. And back up off me, yo, maybe not phrased in those exact terms, would have been a highly effective display of a woman who demands... Who demands her space and who commanded that office. I guess with so many people not sold on Hillary, I agree with Gregory, some real moments of authenticity and power would have been welcomed. And I think that could have been a great one. Watching her sort of like pretend that he wasn't doing that was more awkward than her checking the situation.
And that's my whole point. I heard a commentator say in the phrase, she paused. It was almost like that's some of her political career. There's this, I need to talk to the consultants. I need to make sure this is going to be seen in the right way. I don't condone anyone being in a place where they feel uncomfortable, and she gets to voice that, and I think it would have been a powerful thing. That's all.
I don't disagree with you, but I do understand why she didn't. And, you know, why she did want to take a moment to think before she talks. And honestly, pausing before you actually do something is something that I wish that Trump would do a little bit more often.
Right. But at the end of the day, it didn't show those like extremely large guts and confidence that you need to have to be the president. And I think that I'm not going to probably read Hillary's book, but I look forward to the excerpts because I hope that she is taking some ownership of why this campaign didn't work. It didn't work for a lot of the same reasons that her previous campaign didn't work. So I think that Hillary was certainly the most qualified candidate, but she's also doesn't really run a good campaign. So maybe what her book could be is lessons to people running campaigns from learning the really hard way.
I would definitely be interested in her sharing some, as they say, what worked and what didn't mm-hmm. from her campaign. Lastly, one of the excerpts from her book, she did say that in a I believe a very humble way, she talks about the regret and she says, I couldn't get the job done and I'll have to live with that for the rest of my life. Mm. And
that's moving.
Yeah, the one thing I've heard from reading up about presidents, especially those who run for president but didn't win, they're often asked, how long does it take you to get over the loss? And the answer is, you never do.
You never do. Yeah. I mean, look how long Al Gore's loss was, and you hear interviews with him, and he still sort of talks about it and thinks about it, you know? I just wanted to mention a comment from Facebook Live. You had mentioned some of your nicknames for Mrs. Clinton and former Secretary of State. And Daryl says, Daryl has a really great one, actually. He's on a roll. He says, you actually meant to say the notorious HRC.
I like that one.
I like that,
that
one.
That's a little bit more even handed than when I accidentally don't get her middle name correct.
Which I'm not a fan of.
I get it.
Notorious HRC vibe. I think that would have served her way better than sort of like diplomacy.
Yes. Well, we shall see. I was actually reading a quote this week, which to me sums up a bit of my thoughts on both Hillary and on Donald Trump, which is one of the penalties, and it's by Plato. One of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors, by Plato.
Yeah.
And with that, I say to all the underdogs out there, if you are fed up with what Trump is doing, if you want to see some new people involved on the Democratic side come 2018 and 2020, I say to folks, get involved. And that can be doing stuff at the local level with your school boards. It can be running for office. It can be donating to organizations that do stuff in politics. But I say get involved or else we'll continue to be governed by folks that we're not really feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about someone who, unfortunately, is 0 for 2, and that's Hillary running for office. And we'll shift to someone who's 50 and 0. And talk about who that could be.
Someone who's 50 and 0. Did he fight last night?
There might have been an unavoidable sports story of the week that happened last night. And we'll talk about it and more of your comments and more of your online comments and your phone calls after this break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, live radio show and podcast that we do here every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Coverage, opinions, and coaching around underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life.
Mm-hmm.
This week's episode, Not Again.
Not Again, no. Although...
No, not again.
But this one is not again, you know, did money win again?
Yes. And that, speaking of money, there might be two winners in this story.
I don't think there are any losers, actually.
And we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So we just talked about someone who was 0-2.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about someone who's back in the news again for doing something that they've done 49 times already.
49 plus one more again?
One more again. So we're talking about the unavoidable sports topic of the week, which is Floyd Mayweather fought Conor McGregor
mm-hmm.
last night,
mm-hmm.
and this fight stirred up a lot of energy around it.
A lot of energy.
There was the sports component, which is Conor McGregor, who is a mixed martial arts specialist, an MMA fighter, and one of the best at his sport, going up against Floyd Mayweather, who's one of the best at his sport, which is boxing. So there was that component of, like, the mashing of two different professions coming together in the ring. There was a component of race. Floyd Mayweather being a black boxer, Conor McGregor being a white Irish fighter. And the lead up to this fight had a lot of racial overtones and undertones and tones. And so it finally happened. Now we have a clip.
We had a clip.
Of related to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the time of 1:05 in round number 10. Our referee stops the contest. He is the winner by way of technical knockout and still undefeated, Floyd Money Mayweather.
And the winner is.
Yeah. So were you surprised?
I was surprised at how the fight unfolded. I was not surprised with the outcome of Floyd winning the fight.
So, you know, it's really interesting because there were, as you mentioned before, some very sort of differing opinions sort of going straight into the fight, right? And so what was the most surprising thing for you watching the fight?
That Conor McGregor held his own in the first part of the fight, like the first four or five rounds. I'm like, oh, this is more competitive than I thought it was going to be. And I was shocked.
Yeah, at how competitive. Now, do you watch MMA? Have you ever seen Conor McGregor fight in the UFC?
Only highlights.
Okay, okay. So you're not really like a big MMA fan to know sort of the level of body intensity that's required to play that sport versus sort of doing boxing.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that, like most things, that just because you're good at one thing, it's hard to come in and be a professional in another industry. And so I just thought that it would go faster and he would be outboxed sooner than it took.
And did you factor in anything to do with their ages, with Floyd sort of being 40, turning 41, and Connor being, I think, 29?
I think you're right. I think that's where I didn't factor in that he hadn't boxed in almost 2 years, that he's 40 and Connor's 29, and maybe he didn't take it as seriously as he would if it was a true boxer. And so, you know, I think that evened things up too. But I think his strategy was on point. Let Connor fight as hard as he can, because Connor fights 25-minute long matches, which is about 6 rounds in a boxing match. And sure enough, once you got to the 7th, 8th, 9th, and then 10th, it was all about Mayweather and his stamina and his skill level, and Connor just looked tired to me.
Now, there were some people that were actually just opposed to this fight altogether, actually, which was quite interesting. So you mentioned a little bit earlier that there was some racial under, over, and everything tones to this fight. So, you know, just to kind of give a little bit of context there. So in preparation of this fight, McGregor told Mayweather to dance for me, boy. If anybody remembers that comment from one of those press conferences. And
to me, that's just good trash talk, though.
McGregor said, "I don't know what the issue is. I'm black from the belly button down."
Keep going.
What do you think about that?
Okay.
And I mean, you know, Money said he's fighting for blacks all around the world. So, you know, he was not, you know, denying this.
I wasn't looking for Mayweather to represent me.
Well, he felt like he was.
No, let's be very clear. I'm not looking for Floyd to be my representative. he has some issues in his own past that still need to get dealt with. That no, I my leaders that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
He's not. He didn't. It wasn't money. Money Mayweather didn't make my list.
No, and
neither does Conor McGregor.
No. Well, it's interesting because, you know, certain organizations were calling for a bit of a boycott of the fight, given that there were those racial tensions. And obviously this fight is just coming sort of a short time after the incidents in Charlottesville and the president sort of condoning of white supremacy or white nationalism. And so given that, you know, what we also sort of found interesting was the level of how does race fit with patriotism, right? Because in this situation, the black fighter was the American fighter and the white fighter was obviously Irish, not American. Yep. So normally, if you're being a quote unquote patriot, would you not be, wouldn't everybody in America be cheering for the American fighter?
You would think.
But what was your experience? Did you see that to be the case? Or
I think, like a lot of things in our world today, whether it's two things that don't always bring up division, like the weather and sports. I think about weather when, obviously, and again, we our thoughts and prayers with folks with the Hurricane Harvey. I heard people blaming the hurricane on climate change.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this weather event, which should be very nonpartisan, becomes a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then sports, all of a sudden, there's this racial overtones of race.
Yeah.
And so someone can be American, like, I don't know, we can have a constitution and say we're home of the free, land of the brave, and all men are created equal, and that can be very patriotic. And then the same country can then also say that blacks are 3/5 of human beings.
Exactly.
So no, I was not shocked that folks can be patriotic and then also have that kind of stop at a certain line, potentially sometimes within gender or within race or within sexuality. So no, I was unfortunately not surprised.
Yeah.
And at all with that.
Do we have to
let's take a break and then we'll sum up this unavoidable sports story, and then also still to come, the uns of the week.
Yes.
Uns of the week. Uns of the week. But in the meantime, you should do this. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked.
The Voice of Harlem, WHCR 90.3 FM. All right. Now what? Are they going to fight again?
Well, Floyd Money Mayweather says this was his last fight.
And it should be.
This is not the last time that he said that it was his last
fight.
But
it should be. Right. Not again.
I find it fascinating because prior to the fight, pro-McGregor fans were saying, no way Floyd wins. He's too old. Conor is stronger. MMA is way harder than boxing. But then after the fight, it was Floyd beats women. Put Floyd in the octagon and see what happens. Conor really got paid, so he didn't really lose. Or Conor bravely went 10 rounds and he actually won the first few. And great job. And I don't necessarily disagree with those, but I just find it fascinating. So I definitely think in the vein of, will we see a event like this again, whether or not it's featuring Floyd Mayweather, I definitely think this is not the last MMA boxing crossover that we see.
Floyd got some taxes to pay. There might be a rematch.
Oh, gosh.
And we'll be doing a show called Not Again Part 7. And we'll be talking about the fact that they're doing it again. All right. With that, let's turn to the uns of the week. And I normally say un of the week, but there were some contenders this week for un of the week. So we're going to talk about the runners up, and then we'll get to the actual winner of the unbelievable of the week.
Cool.
With that, the runner-up, first runner-up, or is it second runner-up? I think this will be second runner-up, the first runner-up, then there's a winner. Second runner-up is ESPN, the sports channel.
ESPN, what did they do?
What they did is, you won't believe this. So ESPN has a play-by-play announcer.
Right.
Who does their football games.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their announcers was scheduled to do the football game of the University of Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Which is in Charlottesville.
Yes.
Against some bad team. I forget the name of the team now. And ESPN was like, nah, bruh, you can't broadcast the game because of what happened in Charlottesville.
Who said, to who? Who did they say that to?
The executives at ESPN said to their Asian American broadcaster, Richard Lee, you can't broadcast the game.
Why? It wasn't his, wait, isn't his name, wait, his name was Robert Lee. So just so that I understand.
Yes, Robert Lee.
There's a Robert Asian Lee. Sportscaster
named
with
Robert
the
Lee.
Name Robert Lee. And yeah. Robert E. Lee, as we all know, was one of the leaders of the Confederate States. And so ESPN told Robert Lee, an Asian American sportscaster, that he is not able to do the commentary for the University of Virginia game in Charlottesville because of the sensitivities.
Yeah, just in case there would be people who would create memes about it and the internet mob would go after him.
But wouldn't the internet mob do that anyways?
Well, actually, by removing him from the game and then everyone finding out the news, the internet mob went even in even more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm familiar with the nets of Inter and I know how it works.
Yes. So ESPN is the runner-up, second runner-up under the week for saying Robert Lee can't broadcast the game because his name is kind of like Robert E. Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, the reason why I bring this up too is because, especially for a lot of underdogs, especially being a Black American, I've seen where people don't get certain opportunities because of their name.
Yeah.
Like, there's been countless studies that show if my name is Tyrone and someone else's name is Robert and we have the same exact resume, it may take me three times as long to get as many interviews as the person who has a name that's considered to be more traditional.
Well, I think that this is a little bit of a ridiculous situation, because there's definitely something different about trying to live your life as Robert Lee in Virginia as an Asian American man versus being sort of Tyrone Johnson and, you know, seeing that name on a resume. Like, this is like just an isolated incident given that, right? Given the...
I'm just saying someone's name should not be the reason why they get certain opportunities. That's all.
Or lose certain opportunities. I think this is a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Not the same situation, but I get it.
Un of the week, runner-up. Yeah. The first runner-up is Miss Mad Dash.
Oh, dear, Stacey is back in the news.
Stacey Dash, not again, looking for another 15 minutes.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think, so Stacey came for one of my favorite people in U.S. politics, Maxine Waters.
And you have a mug of Maxine now, too.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Timothy, for the gift. So so basically, just to give people a little bit more context here. So Maxine Waters, congresswoman here in the United States, in California, she was honored by the BET Awards Black Girls Rock last week. And she gave quite a moving speech in her acceptance speech. And I think we have actually a clip of that. And I think it's really important to listen to what she said before we sort of get into the comments made by our friend Stacey.
I'm extremely grateful for the recognition that I'm receiving this evening, but I want you to know, if it was not for the love and respect shown to me by Black women, those right-wing, ultra-conservative, alt-right haters in this country, they would have me believe I'm too Black, I'm too confrontational, I'm too tough, and I'm too disrespectful of them. But now I know I'm simply a strong Black woman. You and you are me. we have power, we have influence. We can do things that others have told us we can't do. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how high you think you are. If you come for me, I'm coming for you. And so, whether it's the President of the United States of America or any of his cabinet, we will say to them, we will resist you. We will not allow you to damage this country in the way that you're doing. We will not allow you to take us backwards. Not only will we resist you, we will impeach you, Mr. President. And so, I know that you are as inspired as I am this evening. I want you to know that I said, and I'll say it over and over again, reclaiming my time.
Maxine Waters.
Auntie Maxine, I gotta love her, man. She definitely reclaimed her time.
So you with her and Hillary?
I'm definitely with Auntie Maxine. And I do not have the same level of disdain for Hillary that you have. And I will not ever.
The views expressed by Gregory do not necessarily represent those, especially when it comes to the notorious HRC. Shout out to Daryl Tillman for that reminder of a new nickname.
Exactly.
That won't get me in as much trouble.
So for those who, just to sort of recap that awesome speech that Auntie Maxine just said. So she said, if you come for me, I'm coming for you. And she called out those right-wing, ultra-conservative, alt-right haters. And we all heard the round of applause that came from that. And she went on and to actually threaten the Trump presidency.
She did, but For proper context, though, Maxine isn't going to be impeaching Donald Trump anytime soon, though.
No, because, you know, obviously we need more members of the Senate.
We need more people.
We need, but, right. But in order to actually, so there's no senator that has actually come up and said, you know, this man needs to resign or called for his impeachment. Congresswomen, congressmen do have some say, and we definitely appreciate what she's trying to do. But obviously, we need more government officials to do that in order for that to be a reality. However, sometimes you need to have the voices to start standing up in order to actually create a difference. And I don't disagree with anything that she said. She said, we will resist you. We will not allow you to damage this country in the way that you're doing. We'll not allow you to take us backwards. Not only will we resist you, we will impeach you, Mr. President. And whether or not we'll be able to impeach him is another story. But you know what? I definitely respect what she's trying to say. And so, obviously, you can imagine that Trump supporters would not be too happy about that.
No, because about 70% of Republicans still approve of Donald Trump as president. And about 1 in 4 Americans are like, he can do anything, and they're still going to be down with him.
And one of those Americans who's definitely still down with him is our lovable Stacey Dash. Every man's girl crush from 1995
when it
to
all
2000.
Falls down. When it all, name my daughter Alexis. Come on, man. This can't be life.
I mean, I was a fan since Clueless. So.
I'm about to Kanye struck her now.
Wow, for somebody who doesn't know too much about pop culture, you sure know about Kanye shrugs, but I guess it's a decade old.
Hold on, where did I cut your mic at? Did you just take a jab at me?
I definitely threw a little shade at you, 1,000%.
So you don't like Kanye?
I do like Kanye, actually. I am a Kanye fan, but I just think that your references are old.
I'm a Kanye shrug that.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways.
I'm going to love myself like Kanye loves himself.
Getting back to the story at hand. So in response to Ms. Waters' speech, so Stacey Dash put her 2 cents in and she wrote this on Twitter. This is how you spin a corrupt media buffoon sucking up her late in life 15 minutes. And with that, she shared an article featuring the speech that we just played for you guys. So she called Auntie Maxine a corrupt media buffoon.
Was she not talking about herself, maybe? Maybe we misunderstood, Stacey. Maybe she was referencing herself as the media buffoon holding on for her last 15 minutes.
But she also called Maxine's water old. And
well,
that's unacceptable, too.
She actually did come back a little bit later and said, okay, I digress. I should not name call. She's not a warrior of truth. So she actually didn't take back her comments. And then she actually came back the next day and said, you know what? It was actually an intern that actually did that. She said, let me clarify that an intern wrongly used the word buffoon in a recent tweet. I don't need to be disrespectful to disagree.
That's better than my account got hacked. That's a new one.
That's a new
I
one.
I haven't heard the intern.
Yes.
I'm yep. going to have to save that one. Like,
so now,
oh, yeah, my intern.
Exactly.
Did it.
Exactly.
And then I only mentioned it after people said it was a bad comment.
Wasn't me. It was the intern.
Yeah. Right? That. And then I didn't take back the comment about calling her old.
Regardless if she's no, I don't think that the issue is that she's old. I think the issue is that she's saying that Maxine Waters is basically doing this for fame, trying to reclaim 15 minutes of fame, where standing up for people's rights and standing up against racism is definitely not something that people do for show. And going to what Kirsten was saying, I think that Miss Dash mistakenly was looking in the mirror when she made these comments.
I'm not even gonna go there.
And you know, she's the one who's
the
actually
views expressed
the buffoon.
By Asha.
Miss Dash is the one who's actually the buffoon.
Now Asha
that
and I agree on very
things.
Few things, so that's huge, right? If me and Asha agree on something, you gotta consider it.
I just wasn't gonna call Stacey old either. But neither one
it's
of them.
It's not
old.
About being old. It's about
it's, how
do,
you
it's
feel.
About yeah. what you're doing and what you're saying and why you're doing it.
Yes, Stacey.
And Stacey is I'm not going to call her old. I'm not going to call anybody old. I'm going to say that you don't have the right to say that people are fighting for rights just for fame, which is not what Auntie Maxine is doing. Yeah.
And it's also another example of, I think, as underdogs or just people in general, we can sometimes get carried away with the name calling instead of making whatever point she wanted to make. And so if Stacey disagrees with the Democrats or Maxine, there's a way to say it, and this is not the way to do it. So hopefully there's no more 15 minutes of fame for Miss Stacey Dash, because I don't want to talk about her again.
Well, you definitely will, because I guarantee you she will be on the news shows this week.
Not
saying,
again.
Saying her piece. Maybe this might be her way to try to get back onto Fox News. I heard they hired Mike Vick, so.
Fox Sports Net, which is part of Fox, did actually hire Michael Vick. So it goes to show, request that someone cut their hair, and maybe you'll get a job with Fox Sports Net. With that, those were the two runner-up uns of the week, which was Stacey Dash and
yes, and just
Charlottesville with the Robert Lee. And I think we had a couple of Facebook Live comments in reference to the honors of the week, or the story before that, which was the unavoidable news story of the week related to sports, which was Conor McGregor fighting Floyd Mayweather last night, and definitely stirred up a lot of opinions on many sides, both sides, as Donald Trump would say, many sides.
Yeah, so Phillip says that McGregor ran out of gas as he expected, and Mayweather did what he always does, defense, counterpunching, etc. He was supposed to win. If he didn't win, it would have been embarrassing.
Would have been embarrassing to the sport and embarrassing to Floyd Money Mayweather.
And in response to our comment about Mr. Robert Lee, Daryl says that ESPN was in the wrong for that one. They basically made a mountain out of a molehill.
Totally.
And really overdid that situation.
Totally agree. And we hope to never see any drama like that ever again.
And then in response to Stacey Dash, Phillip says that Stacey's really sort of all over the place with her comments. And she does not have a right to come at Queen Maxine.
Stacey Dash, when it all falls down, and it's falling. Shout out to Phil in the building, part of the Travel Fam, and also someone who represents living in Harlem now, like we do.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, shout
come
out
check
to,
us out.
Yeah, shout out to Phil and the Travel Family. Appreciate you. All right, and so we'll do quickly who did win the Under the Week, and then we got to get to Uninhibited.
Yeah.
All right. And the winner is for the Under the Week.
Dun, 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 dun.
Not again, but Dave Chappelle and Money are back in the news.
Oh, my gosh. There's another one?
Folks, in his pockets again. Before they were in his pockets going, how you going to leave all that money on the table and leave your show, Dave?
Yeah.
And now people are like, how come I can't get that Dave money?
That is very fascinating.
It is. Under the Week, the winner is Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Yes.
What did she do this week? Why is she, how can she be worse than Stacey Dash coming for Auntie Maxine?
I actually don't think she is, but that's just how it all unfolded. they might tie for first.
I think Stacey Dash is the winner, man.
Stacey is the winner. Actually, we'll do this quick. We'll just say Amy Schumer, it was reported that she got a Netflix deal last year.
Yes.
For a comedy special that she did. And word was her camp found out the money that Chappelle and Chris Rock got, supposedly around $20 million for their specials. And she was like, I should be getting that Dave money, is what was reported. And that she wanted to go back and get more money for her special and reportedly get the same amount of money as Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle got from Netflix.
Which is obviously completely unwarranted.
Yes. So it turns out it's reported that she got somewhere north of $11 million for the deal, but south of the $20 million that Dave Chappelle got for his deal.
But she did come back and say, I believe women deserve equal pay. However, I don't believe that I deserve equal pay to Chris and Dave.
And that's why, in the end, mm-hmm. Stacey Dash is the winner of Under the Week.
Exactly. Because at least...
Because Amy Schumer saved herself.
She tried to.
No, she did. Like, that statement to me, it's all good. And just so folks know, she's doing all right. She was the fourth highest paid comic last year, according to Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
Made about $17 million.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all right. And one of the first female comedians to sell out The Garden.
Right. I mean, she had a great movie called Trainwreck, which I thought was really funny.
I didn't see it, but it was great.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was really, really funny. Trainwreck was funny.
Underdogs out there.
It was funny. The last one that came out was not funny, but the first one, Trainwreck, it was funny. LeBron was in it.
Hold on. I'm going to look this way for a second.
LeBron is not known as exactly a comedian.
No, but he wasn't a comedian in it. Underdogs. It was really funny.
Underdogs. I haven't seen the movie. And you know I don't follow a lot of pop culture as closely maybe as Asha and Kirsten do, but was it really that good of a movie?
It was a good movie. I mean, as far as comedies go.
Just go to facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith where the Facebook Live is and just put in the comments, like, was Trainwreck thumbs up, thumbs down? Like,
Trainwreck was a funny movie, man. The last one she made with Goldie Hawn was absolutely horrendous, but Trainwreck was funny.
Just let me know. I don't know if you're biased towards Amy.
You know what? You can't even pick the winner for the Un of the Week. So clearly my taste is better than yours.
I'm going to love myself like Kanye loves himself.
I'm going to shrug that off.
See, now you're using the references. That's good. Coming back around my way. And that concludes the Uns of the Week. Robert Lee, Stacey Dash, and almost Amy Schumer.
Right, exactly.
Shout out to the underdogs following along. So it's almost time for the end of the show.
Yeah, so Uninhibited or what?
Yeah, we're going to do Uninhibited. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do Uninhibited because I was going to do word association game, but one of those was going to be Michael Vick.
Ooh.
And we talked a little bit about Michael.
Yeah, I let the cat out the...
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry, boo.
It's all good.
I'm not going to... keeping surprises.
Not again. Not again.
Spill the beans.
So with that, it's time for Uninhibited, where you will come with a question.
Yes.
That I don't know what the question is.
Yes.
And then I will stall as long as possible before I answer it.
Okay. So
kind of how it goes.
today's uninhibited question, as usual, is related to the theme of the show. So today's theme is no, not again. And so what I'd like to ask you, sir, is about when you have gone back to, when you've made a replay in your love life, have you ever recycled and remixed and made new news out of old news?
Yes, I have.
And please expand and explain.
I have gone back before as they say, the remix. I've done some remixes before, and I think oftentimes, almost every time, they've been out of comfort as opposed to what I thought was likely best.
Right.
And so to me, there's two types of remixes that I think have come up most for me in my love life, which have been, it ended, I'm out there dating again, but I haven't really met anybody, so I'm going to just go back to what I had before.
Right. And how did that work out for you?
That never works out. Especially if I'm not very overtly open about, like, hey, I'm not back to take things to the next level. I'm just back because...
So wait a minute. When you're saying you go back, you just mean that you are going back to the... lovemaking portions of the relationship, or
I mean going back without any intention to have it grow.
Right. So that would just be maintaining a relationship that's basically just based solely on the physical.
I think there's a lot of people who can relate to this. I can and have, and I'm sure other people have gone back to like kicking it with someone, and it's more than just physical, but there's not really an interest in it being more than just what it is.
So Netflix and chilling. But when you say kicking it, you can't kick it without physical.
Yeah,
or can you?
You can. But what I'm saying is that I have gone back, and I've seen people go back for more than just physical reasons, but not wanting to have it go to like a relationship or go to eventually marriage or something like that. That's what I mean. I've gone back before just to like stay in place.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Well, that doesn't sound like a good idea. What is an example of when it, like, how did you realize, you know what, like, let me just cut this? Like, do you have, like, an anecdote or a real experience about that?
You know, I think what I'll do is, and you were going to test out a new after show component of Underdog Stuff this afternoon, and I may try to delve in even deeper into a longer story about a time I went back and why. But I think in the end, I was trying to be right about that I'm not good in relationships. And so going back to ones that didn't work allowed me to continue to be right about the story I made up that I can't make them work. Instead of just saying, oh, this doesn't work, and then let me go find one that does.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, that would be my preview.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to this week's first edition of the new section of the show.
Yes, remixes are natural, but most of the time, if they don't have new intentions, they end up not working out well.
Ah, so remix with new intentions is the best way
to
remix.
It's the best way, yes.
Ah, I like that.
That is the best way. If not, you'll be saying, not again.
Not again.
Yes. So with that, we get ready for the big close. Any additional Facebook Live comments from the underdogs who have gone on the journey with us today on today's show, Not Again, news that's feels old, but it's actually new again, but it's kind of old.
Well,
it's the same old thing.
Obi-Wan Kenobi says there's no guys that hang out with chicks that they don't want to XYZ with. So he...
That's one man's opinion.
And
shout out to Obi-Wan.
Obi also says that the remix is hot at any time, like the club.
We appreciate all underdogs for coming along on the journey, and shout out to Obi-Wan for checking
anytime
in.
Anytime that you're at the club, as long as it's on the dance floor.
With that, as always, I want to say thank you to all the underdogs who came along on the journey today.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you, all the comments. And if you miss any part of the show, there's a podcast.
Yes.
Which will be available tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like that quick. Live show Sunday, podcast Monday on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play.
Yes.
Search Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith and you'll be able to go along on the journey. Please subscribe and we appreciate all of you. And shout out to the Underdog Stuff team. Asha Davis.
Hi.
Kirsten Magwood in the building. And I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Appreciate you. We're going to take a quick break and then come back with the after show called Underdog Stuff Unscripted, where I'll take a little deep dive into some of the topics from today and we'll get a little one-on-one time and get personal about what's going on in politics and culture. Peace. Thank you for listening to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast. The live show is every Sunday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can watch it live on Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith or listen live on WHER 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem radio station. And new podcast episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Lively Play, and Podomatic. Underdogs, keep going. And remember, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody.